You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed. So a well-curated wardrobe of essentials is important for several reasons. Regardless of whether it belongs to a man or a woman, these essentials, in fact, provide a foundation for personal style, contributes to one's overall appearance and self-confidence. What are those key essentials for a Christian's man's closet? I'm so happy that today we're not focusing on us, we're focusing on men, because it's always about us. And then we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Ritabile, who's going to be speaking to us about this. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Good morning to our dear listeners.
I am good, Pastor. I hope that you are well. The weekend was lovely.
The weekend was good. We are here in Durban for evangelistic campaign. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But nah, Durban is like, you know, it's my plate. Thank you so much, Pastor, you know, for joining us. I hope that you're going to survive this conversation, because every time we speak about clothes, it's always a struggle.
We'll do our best.
Indeed. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let's pray. Father God, we are just about to engage on an interesting, very important conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We are Christians and you have given us principles to live by. And we pray that in this discourse, you may help us to see what you want us and how you want us to live and how you want us to dress. For this, our humble prayer in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we're speaking about all things men's clothing, right? So what matters about a man's appearance? Does it even matter, Muruti? Or you can just wake up, take a t-shirt, take a jean, it's okay. But does it matter how you look?
It really matters, because one, we are all created in the image of God. We carry the divine fingerprint.
Mm.
Therefore, it means that we represent a holy being. So I don't want to believe that God is careless in his in how he looks.
Mm.
I'm always looking at the biblical descriptions of Christ, of things in heaven, and I have this belief that Christ or God himself takes his outlook very seriously.
Mm.
Hence, I want to believe that it's very important for us to reflect that indeed we are created in the image of God. So it matters how we look. However, there are quite a number of things that we'll need to look at when we discuss this topic. Yeah, but it matters how one looks. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Is fashion a factor in a Christian life? I don't know about you, but in I know you're from Botswana. I don't know about then Botswana, but here in South Africa, you know, we've had a time where it was a time for I'm a keep, you know, we would wear
yes.
these very bright, colorful colors, these trendy thingies, and then later on it was a fashion blocking. I don't know why they did that, because us Shangaan people are always blocking because of our colors. But anyway, you know, so it always goes, away with that. So is fashion a thing? Like, can I also go with the trends? I don't even know what's trending now. I'm out of touch. But does it matter to a Christian life?
I want to believe the Shanganis are like the Kalangas in my area here. Mm-hmm. They are always blocking.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting question.
Mm.
I want to respond to it using 3 points. I'll mm-hmm. just highlight them. I believe, I hope that we'll have time to expound on them.
Mm-hmm.
Christian dressing should be guided by six principles. One, modesty and decency.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Like we were discussing fashion.
Yes.
I won't give a direct answer, but I'll refer to principles.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it has to be guided by modesty and decency. Number two, simplicity. And number three, appropriateness for different settings. Number four, practicality and comfort.
Mm.
Number five, quality.
Okay.
And number six, cultural sensitivity. So when one dresses up or wears or buys clothes, they need to be mindful of these six principles before, because they inform who we are. They will inform... we are informed by even the circumstances, the the cultural contexts, the different cultural contexts that we find ourselves in. So I wouldn't give a clear-cut answer to that question, but I want us to be to confine it to the six principles of Christian dress that I have already alluded to.
Here is another one, Mpundisi, that I've asked, and then I've gotten a number of responses to it right beforehand, before the show. But before we go there, one of our listeners has actually sent us a text. I want you to respond to it, my pastor. He's giving us the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 7, where it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things men look at. Men look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So I'm guessing that the listener is saying, Fundis, whoa, we hear all of these things you're saying, but God looks at the heart.
Yeah, but that text, the principle behind the text has nothing to do with dress.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of that was the calling of who was that king?
David.
Was it David? Yeah, it has nothing to do with the principle behind the text. Has nothing to do with the dress,
okay,
or the color combination of what David or the other guys were putting on. It has nothing, totally divorced from dress. Indeed, God looks at the inner heart. However, as Christians, like I said, we need to be mindful of the fact that we are created in the image of the highest being ever, of the Lord. There's a quotation, if you allow me to quote from the Spirit of Prophecy, that could help us when we look at the issue of dress. I actually have two quotations here from pamphlet number 134. I'll start with a shorter quotation where the prophetess says, "We have counted the cost of appearing singular in the eyes of those who feel compelled to bow to fashion. And we decide that in the end, it will pay to try to do right. Though for the present, we may appear odd in the eyes of those who will sacrifice convenience, comfort, and health at the altar of fashion." So when I read this quotation, I looked at some ways that she uses there. She says that we are most of the time at the risk of sacrificing comfort. We are sacrificing health. We are sacrificing convenience. And she says at the altar of fashion. So when we dress up, are we mindful of our health? When we dress up, are we mindful of our comfort? When we dress up, are we mindful of convenience? Now, when you look at those things that she addresses in that passage, you'll notice that they speak to the six principles that I started alluding to, where we talked about quality, where we talked about cultural sensitivity, where we talked about comfort and practicality, where we talked about appropriateness for different settings, for simplicity and modesty and decency.
So this one, Pastor, I've been asking our listeners, you know, to let us know. We also have a WhatsApp group there where people just join in for AWR, and I've asked that as well. And then we've gotten quite a number of different responses there. So the question is, should appearance differ from a professional setting to the house of the Lord? Meaning that... because generally most workplaces, right, I know that times are changing, but most workplaces we ought to wear formal or semi-formal, right? So should the way we wear in church, at work, is that the same way in which we should wear in the house of the Lord when we're going to worship, be it a Sabbath, be it a Sunday, right? Should we be wearing formal, or should you just be free, man? Relax, it's hot now, you know? So I want to hear your thoughts first before I let you know what the listeners have been saying.
You know, you are reminding me, 2 weeks back, we had a heat wave in Gaborone. And I threw a question about, hey, what is modesty, gentlemen? Should I be wearing a a jacket and tie, a suit and a jacket and tie in this heat. The temperatures were hitting 37 degrees, 40 degrees. We are going to collapse on the pulpits. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. But your question speaks to the principle of appropriateness for different settings. Because while it is important to maintain a consistent personal style, it is also very important to consider the appropriate attire for different settings. That would include both your professional setting, it will also include both your religious environment, because dressing appropriately for the house of God also somehow shows reverence and respect for worship. So I personally want to believe that each setting would dictate the kind of dressing sense that one engages in. So yes, I agree with that assertion that you have just made.
So let me go get there. So the other two, there's very one word from Pastor Lukulwane, which is quite long. So this one, it says, so I've read two so far, Mpundisi, but the two that I've read, they were all agreeing with each other. They're saying that always pray to God, asking him, Uguti, what is it that you should wear? You know, so those two were saying, agreeing, they're saying that pray so that the Holy Spirit guides you. And then another one that we got from E. Makaza, it says that Paul says dress modestly, being presentable and decent always, because clothes send out a message on your personality. Even hairstyles speaks of who you are without you opening your mouth. One of this one of hairstyle. Okay. let me take this one. It's quite longish, you know. Pastor Lukulwane here wrote a very longish one, so let me try read. Professional settings vary unless the question is exclusively addressing a corporate setting. How people present themselves in a professional setting is largely influenced by the type of work that someone is engaged in. A worker in the mine has to report to work in protective gear that is meant to protect them in the space. A chemical specialist will need specialized lab coat, goggles, and gloves. One who works with radioactive substances will more likely resemble an astronaut at their place of work for their own health and safety. A game ranger or a tour guide out in the bush will most likely put on clothing that is fitting for that space and colors that blend with nature and do not intimidate the animals. It is therefore not practical to expect people to appear at church in protective gear if this is the order of things in their professional setting. The golden rule of 1 Corinthians 10:31 should always be in mind of the believer, whether they are at work, at home, or at church. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
That point summarizes the very principle. Point actually summarizes the very principle of appropriateness for different settings. But I want to add to what Lekolwane has said. It is not I'll refer to the very same quotation that the very book that I'm quoting from, pamphlet number 134 by Ellen White. This one is a bit lengthy, but I'll try and squeeze it and summarize it. She says, "We do not fear the style. We do not wear the style of dress to be odd, or that we may attract notice. It becomes a problem when you dress in a certain way so that you can be noticed." Or you can be odd. She says, "We do not differ from the common style of dress for any such object. We choose to agree with others in theory and in practice. If we can do so, and at the same time be in harmony with the law of God." I want us to bold that part that says, whatever we do must be in harmony with the law of God. And then she continues and she says, "And with the laws of our being." So they are the laws of God and the laws of our being. They are societal expectations for every setting. And they are divine laws for every setting. So in whatever we do, we need to marry the two. There should be a reconciliation with the expectations from the higher being and the expectations from the very societies that we live in. Therefore, she continues and she says, we believe it wrong to differ from others unless it be necessary to differ in order to be right. And therefore, it is our Christian obligation so that our dress may put us right before God. And in bearing the cross of adopting the same, adopting the Reformed dress, we are led by a sense of duty. And although it may appear objectionable to those who are governed by fashion, we claim that it is the most convenient, the most truly modest, and the most helpful lifestyle of dress worn by us. So we need to create balance when it comes to the issue of dress. I am not the kind of person who dictate to one or another, the measurements of the skirt should be this much, the ankle, or from the toe, or from where, or this the blouse should be sleeveless or long sleeved. No, I don't prescribe, because I believe that God is the one who instills in us the sense of belonging. I know that some people wear. I don't want to use this word. Carelessly.
Use it, Mfundisi. It's a safe space.
No, carelessly, carelessly, out of ignorance, because they are still growing in faith. And it depends how you respond and how you guide them. You can guide somebody nicely and they see that, oh, as a Christian, I have to live by these principles. You need to define what modesty is. From a Christian perspective, you also need to explain and define what decency is from a Christian perspective, so that a person can appreciate why they have to make adjustments in their lifestyle. So the challenge that we have is prescribing fashions without teaching people principles, because fashions come and go, but principles are universal. They remain the same. They are timeless. Fashion is not timeless, but principles are timeless. So instead of throwing do's and don'ts, I think we need to spend more time on giving people principles, because once people catch the principles, it becomes easy to make adjustments in their lifestyles. It becomes easy for them to adjust their hairstyles. It becomes easy for them to adjust even how tight or how loose their skirts or their pants would be.
And are you... So, okay.
Yeah. So in modesty and decency, a man's appearance should reflect a modesty and decency. This means avoiding clothing that is excessively revealing or promotes immodesty. Because when you read in whole, not in part, the writings of Ellen White, she emphasizes the importance of dressing in a way that is respectful, number one, and avoids drawing unnecessary attention. So these are some of the principles that we need to be teaching. You know, I know where I did my seminary, theological seminary. You know, cultures differ. Yeah, you'd hear from the pulpit somebody talking about women being Jezebels because they have makeup, red lips, you know. No. Yeah, I think there are proper ways of dealing with issues to do with dress. Yeah.
So there is another one that came through, Mfundisi. It says there, do you wear formal clothes to your father's house? Galatians 3 verses 28. Or when visiting that friend that's closer than your brother, Proverbs 8:24. I think now it gets a bit tricky. I don't know, Mfundisi, you will guide us. Because here you are, you're a man. Ne? I get the focus here is on men. Here you are, you're a man. Yeah. And then when you're visiting your father's house, do you wear formal? Or you wear, because he's your father, man. You understand? Like, dish up with your dad. Or do you dress like you're visiting your friend? Which we know that these two things are the same thing in the context of the Bible. You know? Do you just put on your t-shirt and jeans and then you go?
I get that question. That question centers or borders around cultural sensitivity. Yeah, in one culture, one would dress in a special way when they talk to their father. In a certain culture, a lady would adorn herself in a special way, in a certain way, before their husband. So we cannot be throwing cultural context around. If I'm here in Zululand, I saw a picture of our church leaders there. I think they were attending the thing at the King's thing. They wore the traditional gear. They were with the leaders from Eswatini here at the thing. And for me, they were being culturally sensitive, you know, because that is the expectation before what? Your Royal Highness here. So if I'm in a context where I can approach God in my flip-flops and my short pants, if culturally that is acceptable, I can do that even here before my earthly father. And it is culturally acceptable. I should be able to do that even before God, the one above. So I think these things, because even though our view of God is influenced by the Bible, we cannot run away from the fact that cultural context also shape our view of God. Right or wrong, that is a discussion for another day. It is a discussion for another day. But most of us look at God based on our social orientations. And some of the social orientations are wrong. I wouldn't stand here and say, go to God in your flip-flops. Neither would I stand here and I go and say that the right atonement before God is a jacket, tie, and suit. No, I wouldn't say that, because worship is personal. Worship cannot be a English ran away. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are those contexts that we need to be mindful of. There are societies in the world where a t-shirt and jeans to church for worship is nothing. And we have interacted with such people, and you notice that this guy is so genuine before his God, very genuine before his God, in his t-shirt and in his flip-flops and in his short pants. And then you come here, you meet a person in a jacket, in a suit, and that person is equally genuine before God. So really, I look at the principles. I look at the principles. But personally, would I go for worship with my short pants and my t-shirts? I wouldn't. I would be mindful of the local setting that I'm around in. I wouldn't, based on my local context.
Okay. So what are some of the...
It does not mean that God looks at me the way the society looks at me.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I'm doing that because that is how God looks at me. But I also need to be sensitive to the cultural expectations.
So you mentioned the issue of ties and whatnot. So what are some of the essentials that a man should have in their closet?
That question depends on where you are.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on where you are. Well, essentials for me as a pastor, essentials for an urban person here in Durban would not be the same for a young man in the northern part of the Republic of Botswana, let's say in rural Shakawe.
Mm-hmm.
So an essential there and an essential here in Durban, or an
They're
essential
different.
At Irene, at your studios, would be different.
Mm.
So to throw some prescriptions here would be unfair. Because contexts differ. Where I am, if I say this is an essential, it may be offensive to someone who is the in the rural area in Zimbabwe or in Zambia. So it is not very easy to categorize and come up with prescriptions, a list of this is okay, this is not okay, this is okay, this is not okay, because we come from different social backgrounds, informed by different social influences. So yeah, one would say, okay, a pair of jeans is an essential. One would say a black suit is an essential. But in true honesty, the essentials are the principles of dress: modesty, simplicity, appropriate for different settings, practicality, quality over quantity, a cultural sensitivity. So if we were to choose something, you get into a shop to buy clothes, you should be mindful of these six principles. They should be the ones to guide you on what is essential for you as a man.
So as we wrap up, Pastor, how then do you, as a pastor, address men that dress otherwise, you know? Because, you know, Pastor, let me put it like this, because it's easier for pastors and elders and all of them to address us as women. Good, hey, no man, be your brother's keeper, you know, care for us, because the way you are dressed, you know, you are tempting us and whatnot and whatnot. But then we ignore the men, that even as women, you know, we have eyes. We see, you know, when you are dressed in your tight pants, even if you are wearing a suit, we see you are tight, but we're like, there's something there. There's something, you know. So how then do you address men that wear in their tight clothes, tight pants, you know, tight shirts? We see that you have an 8-pack, not even a 6-pack, but you are dressed, you know.
Bound pack. That's one big ball in front of
you, know. There. So how then do you, as pastors, you know, address such things with men to alert them that, yes, as much as the ladies hate you, you are hating them because it's here. So how then do you go about addressing that?
Yeah, that is not easy, but for all Christian, for everything that we do as Christians, we need to, before I talk to a brother who has dressed oddly, I would have to pray and ask God to help me to attend to the issue in a manner that Christ himself would have dealt with. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery and she was thrown at the feet of Jesus, and how Jesus treated her. I think we as brothers need to be kind to one another. We as men need to be kind to women. Let's ask people to do better, but respectfully and with love and with in a manner that builds and does not bruise anyone's ego. Because how you treat a person is possibly the way that you will either make him to stay in church or leave church altogether. Because we hear stories of men, we hear stories of women who leave church because a deacon did not attend to them in a fitting manner.
Yes.
They were careless in how they were genuine in trying to help them that dress better, but the approach was bad. It is good to be honest with one another, but let's do so respectfully and in a loving manner. And let's avoid publicly bashing people. Pull a brother aside, pull a sister aside.
Angege, you must tell them, nine, get out.
Nah. Let's be respectful. Let's be respectful.
Yeah.
Because even Christ, when those guys threw that woman before him, he did not publicly state whatever he stated when he was writing. The gents themselves came and peeped in one by one and they left. He could have said everything publicly for everyone to hear what problem the other guy had, but he did it nicely and respectfully. And I think we should borrow from the spirit of Christ. You know, Christ treats sinners in a very dignified way. And the people, the church people during Christ's time had a problem with the way that Christ treated sinners. Hence, we have Matthew chapter 15. Because when you read it, Luke chapter 15, the way it starts, it says the leaders of the church had a problem because Christ ate with sinners. So let's be kind, brethren. Let's be kind, brothers. Let's be kind. Let's not be going to church with rulers to measure people's guests. Let's not be going to church to look at the color of the lips, the stuff that has been put on lips. Let's be kind. Yeah, that's what I'm pleading for.
Pastor, I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for us so that we do not go with rulers and everything else? And us ladies, you know, we don't go with those scrutinizing eyes to say, the zip is not straight. The zip. So that, you know, we may go there with pure intentions. Please pray for us, Pastor.
All right. No, thank you so much. Our eyes are closed as we pray. Father God, we are thankful for this moment. You have given us a moment to discuss a very important topic, a topic that talks about Christian lifestyles. We may have said things that we did not mean to say. May you forgive us if there is any utterance that is offensive to you. And above everything else, Lord, may this discussion help us, help each and every listener to pause and reflect, make a self-audit of their life to see if they are indeed representing you and your kingdom in a manner fitting. If there is anyone who has reflected and they see themselves wanting, may you please hold their hand and guide them and help them grow from strength to strength. Be with us, we humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. It was a lovely one. I hope the people there in KZN will treat you very nice. Till we chat again.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.